Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch it.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Out of the pistol, Mariota is going to abandon the pocket. It's a wildcat snap to Henry, who runs it to the right. And the burst into the end zone. A second rushing touchdown of the day for Derrick Henry. And punctuation for the Titans here in Nashville.
An embarrassment of a drive right there by this defense and what they just gave up. I don't blame them. Offense didn't do jack anything today. You are getting your, you know what, taken to the woodshed.
Get ready to start our buses.
All right, not really too much to say here this afternoon. They just, Titans did a better job than we did in every part of the game, every phase of the game. So not a good day for us. And we've got a lot of work to do here. A lot of football left to go. We just obviously didn't do much of anything well today. So.
All right, let's discuss. Nice football team you got there, Anthony.
Oh, yeah. No, I said that to Zoe on the way out. Yeah, I wonder if he gave him a good talking to on the flight home.
We got Big Jim Murray in the update studio, fully loaded program behind the glass with Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny. We discussed Patriots, Titans yesterday. What is your leadoff thought on that, Anthony?
I mean, to me, again, I'm not trying to turn this into stuff we said last week, but if you couldn't see this coming, I don't know what you were watching. This idea that all of a sudden the Patriots played this great game against the Packers, or that they could win without Rob Gronkowski, like all of this. I don't think you've been watching them play this year. I don't think they've executed consistently all year.
Should you have seen that coming?
No, not the blowout. Not the blowout. That I didn't see coming either. But a loss. Like, now this was worse than I thought it was going to be. No two ways about that. But I just don't think they played consistently well all year. Like, I'm trying to think. Well, I know we've had this. What is their best game this year? Miami?
At home, yeah.
Okay, so have they played two good games in a row? Have they played one good game? Like, I look at it and
yes,
I say...
the Packers won, but you keep discrediting that.
See,
one.
I don't think it was as good as you do, Murray.
The Packers don't fumble. You're down at home in the fourth quarter to a mediocre team.
So this is my point, is that, like, I think people looked at that Packers game and thought that they played better than they did. And I think people looked at the 7-2 and say, oh, yeah, see, the Patriots are right back where they always are. And in terms of the wins and losses, if the bottom line is all anybody goes by, well, then fine. But I like to actually judge them on how they play and how they look and how they execute.
Well, I mean, and you have to with this team because competition's so spotty and they're going to figure out a way to win most of these regular season games. I mean, the win total's still going to be there. So you have to go a little bit beyond just the win-loss. I mean, after all these years, I mean, don't we know that by now?
I mean, that's what I think. And again, so now look, did I expect that? Did I expect them to get their asses kicked like that? No. I mean, who could? Because even when they play poorly, almost always they make a run, right? Almost always they make a run, and you start to say, okay, this game's going to turn right about now. And, after Devlin scored yesterday, I thought, okay, maybe this is going to be a game now. And it wasn't. It just never really was. Tennessee took it to them right out of the gate. And they attacked. And I think you want to talk about symbolic things that happened in that game. Corey Davis at Stephon Gilmore all day, as if to say, we don't care who your number one corner is. We're going to throw at him all day long. 10 targets, I think it was, right? 10 times they went at him. I mean, that was like, to me, that was an indication right then and there. We don't care. We have zero respect for what you've done in the past. You have to beat us here today. They got their asses kicked, plain and simple.
Murray, your thoughts?
Oh, it's garbage. Garbage in all three phases. I did put a lot of stock into that game against Green Bay, especially defensively. I thought that's the reason they won it, because, you know, how good the defense was. But I've seen this team before, close to 10 years ago. This is the 2009 Patriots all over again. They don't have those kind of a-hole personalities on this team.
Oh, how do you know?
Maybe they do.
Cordero Patterson.
Oh, that's one.
Josh Gordon.
See, I like Gordon.
Oh, Gordon.
Despite the past.
Gordon would have fit right in 2009. Perfect. Doesn't show up on time. Oh, please. Perfect 2009 Patriot. Josh Gordon. Keep going. Sorry.
But just in terms of the play, because the one thing that team is mirroring the 2018 Patriots about is that they were a fraud on the road. They really couldn't beat anybody or a decent team on the road. And I don't think the Titans are really that great. And they got pushed around by that team yesterday. They're a 9-7, maybe 10-6 team in a bad division. And I think Marcus Mariota mostly blows. And even yesterday, he was missing guys wide open. Maybe the score could have even been more if he wasn't missing guys in the flat by like 10 yards. And they got killed. They were in that game for all of like 10 minutes, it felt like. And that was really embarrassing. And I really don't think that that's going to change. Do I think that they're going to go to Pittsburgh with this group of wide receivers that either look broken down or just like guys aren't involved anymore, like Chris Hogan or Tom Brady, for whatever reason, wants to just keep throwing it to Josh Gordon over and over and over again? It just feels they got on the road and it looks like the same thing over and over again, whether it's Jacksonville, Detroit, or yesterday in Tennessee, to kind of iffy, mediocre teams. It's like they lose their way and they lose their minds. And I don't really see that changing.
So I can't predict what games are going to win and lose, obviously. I can't. But I don't think they're great. Certainly if you compare them to themselves, they're not a good Patriots team.
They're not, right.
Like in this vintage, again, just comparing to themselves, are they a good NFL team in this day and age? Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Sure. They're still an upper echelon NFL team. But if you compare them to themselves, this is not one of their great teams. I think that's, just obvious. And there's some things that have happened this year that are different than in the past. That Lions loss was different. They usually don't go back-to-back like that and play the way they did against that Lions team. And they don't play like they did at this time of year like they did yesterday. Like, that felt like an early season hiccup. We see that all the time. Every year they have like one or two of those in September, early in the year. It almost never happens in November. I forgot to write this down, but did Jeff Howe or someone tweet out this is the biggest margin of defeat they've had at this time of year since like 2000?
Yes. So that's really pre-Brady.
So it's in the Brady era, they've never suffered a defeat like that at this time of year. So that is what he tweeted. So it's like, usually November, even if they're not a great vintage Patriots team, it's where they're hitting their stride and where they're doing, they're on the ascend. So that was unusual. And then it's not just the X's and O's of the talent and all the thing we'll get into is they weren't ready to start. They weren't ready to start. They weren't ready to play that ball game. Whether it was the noontime start, where they were in the central time zone, or they obviously were having trouble with the field, whether they admitted it or not. They, were slipping all over the place. So they weren't ready to go. They weren't fully prepared. And then they quit. I'm sorry. They quit.
Oh, they quit. I'm with you on that.
They quit. They quit. They quit right about, Brady quit on a lot of plays all day long, okay? Brady gave up on a lot of plays. He didn't quit on the game, but he gave up on a lot of plays. The defense quit after the double pass to Mariota. Defense quit. Go back and look at their pad level. They start giving it, I didn't even look, 22, 32, whoever their other running back is. The third running back, I guess, right? Because one of them got hurt and Leon Lewis is the other, so.
Really, the fourth.
Whoever it is, they just start handing it to that guy. Well, look at the Patriots pad level on that drive, if you have the stomach to go back and look at it. They quit. They quit. And then here comes Brian Hoyer with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That's quitting.
I mean, when I saw Hoyer come in the game, I went, oh my God.
So they weren't ready to go. They weren't prepared. And then they quit at the end. You don't see that in November. You just don't. So that's different. So that's really one standout to me. The other thing is just because I spent some time on it during last week, boy, did I feel Mike Vrabel in that game. I just felt him. I felt his personality in that game. That's just the kind of ball-busting dink he is to do the things that he did in that game. Oh, you're going to talk all week about the brilliance of Bill Belichick and the genius of Bill Belichick passing on Malcolm Butler and signing Stephon Gilmore? Huh. All right. I'm going to attack Stephon Gilmore and I'm going to protect Malcolm Butler. And what are you going to be talking about after the game? Your $60 million corner, not mine. And the double pass was just obvious. That was Mike Vrabel's ass right in your face, going right back to that second double pass after yours had failed. And then his comment in the post game, I just want to see if we could do it better than they did. And then the comment about Brady catching it better. Well, I know my guy got up quicker than Tom did. Like, there's Vrabel right in your... He took you out back and smacked you about the face with a moist sausage. That's what Mike Vrabel did yesterday.
No two ways about it again. Just attacking Gilmore.
Feeding Deion Lewis, attacking Stephon Gilmore, protecting Malcolm Butler, and then that double pass was a exclamation point. How does my ass taste?
I mean, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers wouldn't attack Stephon Gilmore. And Mike Vrabel did it with Marcus Mariota and Corey Davis.
Because Vrabel's that kind of guy, but also maybe he looked at the tape and said this. He's not that good. The way you folks, Maz said, the way you folks are talking about the team, the way you folks have been talking about Stephon Gilmore, I think you've gotten ahead of yourselves a little bit. He's had a nice year. He's been a good player for you. But that ain't no shutdown guy that I've seen. He's been nice. He's been good.
Well, in recent weeks, how many teams are even targeting him? So some of that might be coaches buying the hype of, oh, well, you know, PFF has exactly. rated him as one of the best corners in the game. And I noticed it immediately, too, being up in the 300s. But I was like, wow, this is ballsy. He's attacking Gilmore.
Oh, he went right at him.
And at it and at it. And boy, he sucked, too.
Oh, he went right at him, right out of the gate, as if to say, it doesn't matter. You that's your best guy? Okay, fine. We don't care. I mean, that to me was eye-popping. That was as much a statement as anything else. We're going to go right at him. And Corey Davis, talented kid, not that good. He's not that good.
I mean, is he explosive?
No.
I mean,
he was a high pick, though.
No, but is he known as like a burner? Like, he doesn't feel to me, he feels more like, he feels like a tight end to me almost.
Yeah, he's big. No, that's right. He's more of a, I would put him like, a, you know, profile-wise in more of the class of like, Julio Jones, right? Like, not that, or even Josh Gordon. Not necessarily the guys who are going to completely blow you away down the field like a Tyreek Hill, but there's size there too. But he drops the ball like nobody's business. And they said, we don't care if he drops it. We think he's going to catch it on your guy. How do you like that?
The brilliance of Bill Belichick passes on Malcolm Butler and signs Stephon Gilmore. And Vrabel goes right at that.
Totally. Absolutely. That to me was like right out of the gate. I went, wow, look at this. Look at this, right out of the freaking chute.
Thoughts on Tom Brady?
I thought he sucked. And I don't know a nice way to say that. I thought he was awful. And I thought the whole offense was awful, but it looked to me like Brady was seeing ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the first hint of a rush, he was recoiling, turtling. Like, to me, he saw it coming when it wasn't even there. He was so... He didn't trust his receivers. He didn't trust the line. He didn't trust anybody. By the time you get to the middle of that game, he would look like he was shell-shocked, for crying out loud. I mean, that, I thought, again, that's as bad as I think we've seen Brady in a long time.
You were there, Murray. Were there guys open for him to have?
Yes, there were. And, you know, people want to yell at me, but believe me, I had good vantage point of it, 300s, 50-yard line. And when it really became apparent he's seeing ghosts and he's bailing out, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make it a point here, second and third quarter. I'm going to pay attention now to the backfield and see if there's, or, you know, in the backfield defensively, and see who's open. And guys were open, especially short. And there's times, even late in the game, this is where I thought Brady quit on a 3rd and 4. He chucks it deep down the sideline to try to go to Gordon. What the hell are you doing with the chuck and duck stuff? You know he's frustrated when you see the chuck and duck. Last few years, it just feels like, ah, F this. And I'm going to throw it up, and hopefully maybe someone makes a play. But there were intermediate throws in the middle of the field to be had. Guys were open, and he was just either feeling real pressure or phantom pressure, and he was bailing out.
Okay, those are our leadoff thoughts from yesterday's loss in Tennessee. What are yours? We will find out with you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Left foot forward for Brady. Waits on the snap, and he takes it. A give to White. He starts to his left, flips it to Edelman, who throws it right for Brady. Makes the catch, stumbles at the 40, and he dives close to the first down marker with Woodyard covering up for Tennessee. And Tom Brady makes the catch on the reverse, and then the wide receiver pass, but he stumbled toward the first down marker, unable to get there.
Hey, at least he caught it this time.
Titans take over on downs from their 42. A handoff to Lewis. It's a reverse pass as he gave it up to Jennings, who threw it left-handed to Mariota, and he runs it across the 30, the 40-yard line of the Patriots, tackled at the 38.
Wow!
As the Titans gave the Pats a taste of their own doing,
Vrabel rubbing
it in. The same play the Patriots ran with Tom Brady.
It's a great call.
On the previous series.
It's a great call, and Vrabel taking it to him here. Getting out played, getting out coached.
Out everything today.
Before you pulled that plug, you had a double reverse pass. What goes through your mind when that play
comes? Well, I wanted to see if it looked any better than there, so.
And is Marcus Catcher better than Tom did?
He got up quicker than Tom did, I know that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I was fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
freaking Vrabel. Freaking Vrabel. Soon as that receiver wound up to throw, first I mean, like, freaking Vrabel. That is so him. So him. And then in the post game, I want to see if we could do it better than them. Like, he didn't even call the offensive plays, but he takes ownership of that. Because, you know, he gets on the mic and says, let's do it.
Oh, my God, it was unbelievable. I mean, I talk about rubbing your face in the mud after they just kicked you in the stomach.
Hear the Vrabel exchange again, Jimmy, if I could. So him. The play call, it reeked of him.
Before you pulled that plug, you had a double reverse pass. What goes through your mind when that play call?
Well, I wanted to see if it looked any better than there, so.
And did Marcus catch it better than Tom did?
He got up quicker than Tom did. I know that.
Oh, you ball-busting prick. He is. That is so Vrabel. And so, you know, I talked last week about, I'm fascinated to see what it would be like this guy, this matchup, versus a former coach. And it's just interesting to me that you could really feel Vrabel's, you know, Vrabel's a super competitive guy. And he would go back and forth with Brady every day in practice. He'd go back and forth with Bill, one of the few guys who could really do it. So you would say with some guys, like Vrabel right there is gloating or rubbing it in. But it's really not quite. He's really just more of a back and forth guy. And so there was the back and forth. I'd be surprised if Brady or Belichick were offended by Vrabel. I bet they were far more offended by Deion Lewis, saying that's what happens when you cheap out, you get your ass kicked. That, to me, cuts much closer to the bone for Bill and something he's not apt to forgive. And I don't feel good for Deion Lewis the next time he faces the Patriots. But the Vrabel stuff, I'm sure Brady and Belichick literally go, freaking Vrabel. Shut up.
I mean, the play is one thing, like, but the comment was, I wanted to see if it looked better than theirs
you
did.
Ball buster.
I wanted to see if it looked any better than theirs.
Oh, God. not many guys have the stones to do that after you beat
them. He got up quicker than Tom did. I know that.
Oh, my God. Same guy. Okay, your thoughts, as promised. We've got Chris in Whitman. Go ahead, Chris. What do you got?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I don't know. I just want to talk about how Maz was talking about we should have seen this game coming when before the game, all he was doing was yapping about where the Titans are going to hide Malcolm Butler. And granted, yeah, he played the least amount of snaps out of all the guys in the defensive backfield. I think only 51 snaps, if I'm correct. But he played a damn good game. And I don't think, you know, Patriots didn't expose him as much as we could have. And, you know, Brady did dive a lot and threw the ball away a little bit too early. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I'm with Maz in terms of how stunned everybody is. Like, again, I'm going to tell you, I predict the games. I can't predict games. None of you can. That's why you all lose when you bet. How are you doing in your office pool? You still alive in your knockout pool? I bet you're not. So no one can pick these games. So I'm not pretending like I picked it. Maz did. Maz had the Titans by one in this game. So you're barking up the wrong tree with Maz. But not that I could predict the game, but I did feel, and I said it all last week, I'm not as sold on this run that they were on as everybody else.
No, how could you be? Again, if you watch the games as opposed to just going by the wins and losses, I don't know how you could be. And again, the Patriots set a high standard for themselves. So it's one thing to look at them and say they suck, because they don't suck.
They don't suck versus the league, no.
No, they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Versus themselves?
They suck.
This is not a great Patriots
team. No, it isn't. And again, just if you go back and say, what game this year did you watch where you said, now that looks right. That is them. And the night that Edelman came back, I thought their offense was trending that way. I thought, well, there's a change. Like, there was a definite change the night Edelman got back in the lineup. But other than that, and even then, I don't think they played a great game that night, but it was a step in the right direction. I don't think they played great all year.
I just think people overrated that Packers win. You were about to go down in the fourth quarter. They put the ball on the ground, and then you started these trick plays and pulled ahead, and Green Bay kind of gave up. But, like, that was no wall-to-wall great win. The Packers have sucked this year. Dave in Plymouth. Go ahead, Dave.
So, Vrabel, that was the line of the year. That was strict. That was absolutely the line of the year. And I can't wait for Bedard tomorrow. With his three up and three down, because three up, nobody. Three down, everybody.
So this is why I think Bedard and Maz, thanks, Dave. Good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. That Maz and Bedard are justified in is what they said last week in that Green Bay game, that you had to trick it up to get your points against Green Bay, and you hated that take out there. Hated it. But don't you I don't know. It doesn't feel like they're just. Where's their apology? It feels like that's justified.
I want my apology.
Seriously.
I want my apology.
They couldn't do squat, and then they get at the end of the game and they pull up a fake reverse double pass. It worked, and Brady just can't keep his feet. So, but that's what they had to dial up because they couldn't win on third down.
Look, I'm not telling you I saw the blowout because I didn't see the blowout. Okay, but I think I said coming in here after the Green Bay game, you know, I don't love the spot. Going to Tennessee for the next five on the road. It's typically a physical team, Tennessee is. The Patriots are coming off a big win. They haven't played great on the road all year. Like, and that really, that last fact is the biggest one. They have not played well on the road all year. They have two road wins. One of them was at Buffalo, which shouldn't even count for crying out loud. So this is consistent, really, with how they've played on the road all year long. So again, the blowout, I didn't see it. I did not see that coming. But if you thought they were going to go in there and win this game easily, I think you're out of your mind.
Phil in Malden. Hi, Phil.
Thanks, guys. Maz, you were right. You and I said it was a trap game, and I predicted that they would lose on Thursday. But besides, both offense and defense stunk. They absolutely stunk, and now there's a rumor saying that the team had the flu. Come on, yeah. Give me a break.
Phil, don't leave out the special teams. Don't leave out the coverage teams.
I mean, again and again, that goes all the way back to the preseason.
They have absolutely blown all season long. All season long, they haven't covered kicks.
It goes back to August. Really? Their coverage team sucked in August. They haven't gotten any better. That has been a year-long thing. All year long, it's been that way.
And that's always a fringe sign of a team that doesn't have it all together. It sort of shows up there. It shows up there. And that's very unpatriot-like for them not to be solid in the kicking game. In the coverage game, at least. Oh, my God. When's the last time you could say that? Dean in Shrewsbury, your thoughts.
Hi. Three Brabel's teams, Patricia's team, and Coughlin's team were the ones beating the Patriots. I wonder why you think people who are so familiar with Belichick's are the ones that seem to win these games.
It seems to make sense.
Sure it does.
I mean, Vrabel, like I'll just tell you yesterday, Vrabel knew one thing you have to do against Brady, and that's get middle pressure, pressure him in the middle. Take away the center of his pocket. I mean, that is just, that's Brady defense 101. Take the center of the pocket away, because if he can climb the pocket, you're toast. So I laugh at all these teams that send these blazing edge rushers up the field against him, but he's fine with that. He'll step right up, and you want to muddle the middle. And boy, once you did that from Brady yesterday, he wanted no part of that second play. He wanted no part of standing in there, no part of when that center of the pocket broke down, he was done. He was done, and Vrabel knew that.
I mean, there were a lot of times as that game went along where it just looked like he was turtling, man. He was stepping back on throws, like all of it. The rush was coming, and he just did not, he didn't want any part of it. In some cases, the rush never even got there. He was seeing ghosts. And on some level, I understand that. Like, as the day goes on, you lose faith in your teammates, you lose faith in the line. But he had no confidence in anyone around him by the end of that game. None.
Oh, we are going to continue with your thoughts on the Patriots' loss yesterday in Tennessee. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your ass kicked.
So I guess Deion Lewis did not sign the NDA. You didn't sign the agreement. That's Malcolm Butler.
Malcolm Butler and the team, they ain't going to say anything about each other. I'll have more on that coming up. Deion Lewis didn't get the memo.
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your ass kicked.
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get ass kicked. That's one that's going to, that one's going to leave a mark with Bill, and that's one he's not going to forget. The Vrabel stuff, that's a Vrabel back and forth. That's Vrabel being a ball buster like he's always been. And I think they're in a good place with Vrabel. They should be anyway. Deion Lewis, that kind of company. We start talking about the money. Well, that's how Vrabel got his ass shipped out of here. Is he started talking about the money, became a player rep and talked about Patriot Place and where those revenues were going. And 2 months later, he was gone. So it's the money. Money's the sore spot down there with Bill, the whole operation. So when Deion Lewis says that's what happened when you go cheap, that's one they're not going to forget. That.
Well, when I saw the comment, I went, oh, boy. I went, gloves are off. Like, if that happens. And again, you knew Lewis was going to play well. He ran hard, right?
He's still under 3 yards a carry. It's not had a great day.
But it's one thing to take a shot at the organization that you felt wronged you or, I guess, cheaped out on you. What I was surprised at was the rest of what he said when he went at the other guys in the locker room, his former teammates.
Yeah.
He said, let them have it and they'll fold. That I was like, oh,
okay,
wow.
So I just called bull crap on Deion Lewis. And I liked him as a player. Like, of all the running backs that have come through here, I've liked him just about the most because I think he really makes people miss and will gain something when it's not there. But I'm not paying the guy. I'm not paying any running back. So see you later. Smell ya. And he was an integral part of that game. And to say that, Murray, he was on teams that came back from 35, you know, with 28-3, whatever. Like, he's been on – how many of his Patriots teams came back and kept fighting to the end and took all sorts of hits and never gave up? That's bull crap. He's just pulling that out. He's just
being an a-hole.
He's just being an a-hole because he won.
I'll tell you, though, they got smacked around yesterday.
They got smacked around yesterday, but Deion Lewis's Patriots, they always fought back.
No, that's true.
That team yesterday?
Yeah.
So that's got to be a little bit of a warning sign. They did not fight back yesterday.
Big time, again, and I just think there have been little pockets here during the year where you watch them play and you say, this is not who they are typically. It's not what they're about. And to me, I just talk about the execution. You know, it's not even a toughness thing, but yesterday on the road is a mental toughness thing in general. They've played 5 games on the road. They beat 1 legitimate team, and that was Chicago, and even that was a little shaky. Nonetheless, whatever, it was a W. Buffalo? Come on. We're going to count Buffalo as a road win?
And they even gave him a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, as it was. That game was way too close in the first half.
What was that, 12-6 in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Okay, Blair in Maine. He's up next with Felger and Mass. Hi, Blair.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Couldn't get any wrong. Does it even matter about the key injuries with Rob out, defensive players out? I mean, could it get any worse? You know, how did they lose to this team, Tennessee Titans? You know, their quarterback, they're even talking about how, like, the quarterback's not the best quarterback to go against.
He stinks.
And the way he runs, the way he does things, and then we lose to him 34-10.
So hold on, Blair. I don't need the score. What defensive injuries did you have?
Well, see, I was just going to say that. Who's been your best defensive player this year?
Gilmore.
How did he do?
He got smoked.
So I stopped there. You had your best defensive player, and he got toasted.
But just forgive me. Who was out?
I don't think anybody was out.
Who was out defensively? You had offensive guys out. Your defense. That's your defense. That's your D. Okay? So no injuries on defense. On Gronkowski. I don't treat that as, like, bad luck for the team. I say that's all part of... That's baked in. That's baked into the Rob Gronkowski thing, getting banged up and missing time. And then there's this whole nother layer of the guy's got 1 foot out the door. So it's like, is that sort of a part of his injury in that maybe he's not rehabbing as hard or he's dejected, his heart isn't in it? You know, something I can't tell you exactly what's going on. But is there some piece, is there a mental component here to Gronkowski being out that's beyond just the guy's got a bad back or a bad Achilles again or something like that? Like, there's another piece on top of it.
Sure there is. I mean, his heart might not be in it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's that simple. His heart's not in it. At least not like it's been in the past. And you know what? We can bitch all we want about Belichick and how he does things. And you can't blame Gronk on Bill. Bill wanted to move on.
Had a first-round pick for him.
Bill wanted to move on. He was ready to move on from that one. And I'm just wondering, by the way, since we're on the topic, is Ben Volen still going to tell me that the Patriots are okay without Gronk? Can we revisit that story again? What's the record now? 14-2 in the last 16?
Go ahead, revisit.
Because it looked to me like they sure as hell could have used Gronk in this game. Like, this is, to me, you're going against a guy like Vrabel who understands the value of a player like that. They missed Gronk yesterday.
Big time.
Big time.
Of course.
And if they go up against good defenses and physical defenses, they are always going to miss Gronk. I don't care what the record is.
Andrew in Dorchester. Go ahead, please.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I agree with you completely. We just did not play the par yesterday. Brady couldn't even stay on his feet. But this is why, I'll be honest, I love being from Boston. I love listening to you guys. You guys keep the story fresh. Keep it going. Like, the sky is falling. I think we'll be fine. I think that we'll still be Super Bowl champions on February 3rd. But we do need Gronk, and we need everyone to be healthy, locked in. I think we got this.
Okay, babe. I hope you're right. To say they'll be fine, like, define that. They'll be fine.
But they're going to win the division.
Of course they're going to be fine. There's going to be home playoff games.
Plural,
least,
huh?
Go on, game. There's going to be at least a home playoff game. Maybe it's wild card weekend, but my guess is it's still going to be divisional weekend. You're still going to have a home playoff game, if not more, and you'll be fine in terms of that. Do you have everything it takes, both tangibly, talent on the field, and intangibly? Are they all pulling in the same direction, or are they all still in the same mental and competitive place they've been in the past? Because I don't know about that second piece. Do you have those two things together to go all the way? That's a whole other thing. I don't think they're fine in that regard. I think they're fine in terms of we're playing in January. So it's just how you define it. But I am surprised. I'm with Maz. Like, they got to 7-2, and everyone's like, see? Whoa, we should apologize to the team because they're 7-2. For what? Did they play particularly well? I mean, to this point, are we beyond sort of, I don't know, overrating regular season wins? The teams can win in the regular season. This team can win in the regular season, whether Tom Brady's the quarterback or Matt Castle's the quarterback or Jimmy Garoppolo's the quarterback or whether they suck or not. Bill's that good, and they're all that, you know, they're all that ahead of the league. They're going to win their regular season games. Is that all we're talking about now?
No. I mean, to me, I have always felt like you got to judge them on how they play.
They weren't playing great.
I don't think they've played great all year. I try to think of, if you were to say to me again, what is their best game? Miami? Maybe? Miami, I guess. And Miami sucks to me. Miami's an average team, and it was at home, and they beat them 35-7 or whatever the hell it was. I don't even remember the score. And they were good that day. I don't think they were great. I don't think they've had a great game all year.
Okay, let's get back to Tom Brady and his afternoon and how he felt about the way he played and the way he looked. We'll do that right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Third down.
Coming again.
And 9 from the 36.
Yep.
Arakpo comes, and then a fifth rusher. Brady's in trouble. Rolling right, moving up, wrapped up, and down he goes outside the 30 at the 31-yard line. They brought the safety, Byard. Woodyard, the linebacker, got there as well.
This is unbelievable.
The second half begins just as the first half ended with a sack of Brady.
Vrabel knows how to get to him. He's done it before. They've done it in Houston. Nowhere to step. Nowhere to go. Brady loves sliding up in the pocket. They are just chasing.
I don't care about getting hit. I'd like to score points, so I'll take a lot of hits and score points. But taking a lot of hits and not scoring points means we're not doing enough good things right. But, you know, those guys played hard. Our guys up front played hard. We just didn't get enough going.
All right, let me ask the group something here. Let me ask Boston something. Tom Brady, you just heard it there. I don't care about getting hit. I care about scoring points. I'll take a hit to score points. I don't care about getting hit. Do you believe that? Is he playing like that?
Not yesterday.
Yeah, right. Not yesterday.
Or did he play like someone yesterday who didn't want to get hit?
No, he played like someone yesterday who didn't want to get hit. But I also interpret that comment another way. And maybe it's me typically reading into it too much. You know, I'll take a hit if we're scoring points because it means we're doing something right. I half wondered there if it was his way of saying, hey, look, if these guys aren't in the right place, what do you want me to do, get drilled for nothing? I'm not going to get drilled for nothing. Hmm. Our offense sucks. We're not in the right place. Guys are all over the place. Nobody knows what to do. And so I'm not going to sit there and get my brains beaten on a day like that.
Good point. That's how Brady feels. What's the reality? Again, you were there. You were watching the field, Murray. Were there guys there?
Yeah. There was guys, you know, shorter throws, especially on the, you know, on the outside by the sidelines. There was guys that were open. It was like maybe he was looking for a bigger play or he just felt the rush or was seeing ghosts. But there were guys open, and he was either taking a dive, you know, because he didn't want to get hit, or he just didn't see him, or he's throwing to forcing one again to Josh Gordon. Again, 12 throws to Josh Gordon. That, to me, is that made me want to puke.
How many plays did he bail on? And those deep ones to Gordon are bailouts. Those are bailout throws. I see Aaron Rodgers do that all the time.
Right, that's what it looked like.
Get on his back foot, just chuck it up, and maybe his guy makes a play. Instead of hanging in there and stepping up. And again, Vrabel did a good job taking away the middle. So I'm not saying he had those step-up opportunities. But hanging in there just a little bit more and trying to find a more viable sort of guy on an actual route as opposed to just chucking up down the sidelines. Boy, did he do that a lot yesterday. He did not look to me like someone who was willing to take the contact yesterday. I'll just tell you that. And it felt like he was constantly under siege. He only got sacked 3 times and hit 3 more. So he only got hit 6 times. But it felt worse because I think he was
sped up,
overreacting to it.
Yeah.
Yep, he was sped up. Yeah, and again, I think a lot of this is you know, stuff that Tennessee did early in the game, right? Like, again, they threw at Gilmore early, and it felt like they got to Brady early, and then it was in his head the rest of the day.
And he keeps chucking it to Josh Gordon. 12 targets, 4 catches. That is putrid. How is that in any way, shape, or form Tom Brady? He's all about efficiency. Never mind, he's not the big play guy. He's about an efficient guy. He's an efficient quarterback. It's an efficient offense, and that's how they operate. He's willing to throw to a guy 12 times when he comes down with it 4? Boy, do I hate Josh Gordon as a player. I can't stand that kind of guy. Just can't. I got no use for it. You got to have a babysitter get him there on time. He still can't get there on time. I'm talking about during the week. He's a big play guy that I feel like has lost his explosiveness or is not in shape. So he catches that first deep post. And then they come back to him on another slant later on the drive for an easy first down. He drops it.
He hit it right in the hands, too. That one drove me nuts.
And I feel like he's huffing and puffing out there. I feel like he's not in shape. That's what I think it is. Maybe it's the hamstring. I don't know. He's been here a month and a half already. And he still doesn't. He doesn't look like he has his football wind. Or maybe it's the hamstring. I don't know. But what are you doing there with Josh Gordon? All those targets to Josh freaking Gordon. Give me a break with that guy.
So maybe that's another thing, too, is Gordon had a couple of those drops, right? Couple of them, maybe Brady said, I can't throw it to him in traffic.
Oh, he kept doing it. He kept doing it. And so then there was this interesting exchange here with Greg Bedard and Bill Belichick in the post game. The questions might be a little faint, but basically Bedard starts by asking him, well, why all those targets to Josh Gordon?
Bill, is a guy like Josh Gordon getting like 12 targets and other guys like Hogan getting one? Is that the way you guys want things or just how it happens?
Yeah, we talked about this ad nauseum, Greg. Nothing's changed. We don't design passes to go to one guy unless it's a screen pass.
Do you think Tom was effective finding?
You'd have to ask Tom. Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
I've been late, so I apologize if you were asked. Just how did you think they were effective getting as much pressure as they did on Tom?
Yeah, I already covered it. They did a good job.
Yeah, he already covered it. So, but the first piece there with Bedard.
Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
Okay. So, how come a guy like Gordon gets 12 targets and Hogan gets one. And Bill says, we've been over this a million times. The only time there's a play designed to go to one guy, it's a screen. Otherwise, ask Tom. Do you think Tom was affected by the rush and what he saw? Go ask Tom. So now we got, you know, a little undercurrents there. I don't know. You tell me. Am I reading into that?
No. Go ahead, Matt. Well, I think it's kind of Palace Q related. And look, the way that it's looked in recent weeks with him, he's straight up forcing balls to Josh Gordon. Well, maybe Tom Brady feels the same way that you kind of do about Josh Gordon. That, like, oh, this is what you got me? This kind of player? Oh, this is the weapon that you've added here, Bill? Fine. I'm just going to keep forcing balls to him as an FU. Spite throws, if you will.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, to me, it's all rooted in the Palace Q. Totally. You knew that there was stuff there. That stuff doesn't go away. When it's built up over 18, 19 years, it doesn't go away. It's there, and it comes out when you lose. That's when it comes out. So to me, that's what it's all rooted in. That whole thing is, you know, him saying again, well, you know how we do it here. Why don't you go ask the quarterback? You know, that when he says it that way,
yeah,
it sounds eerily familiar to me as Tom can speak more to the condition of the footballs.
So it's hard not to feel that. You know,
you have to ask Tom.
you know, we were asking you, do you feel your quarterback was sped up on that?
Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
Yeesh. Okay. All right, Bill, we'll go ask him. And then when Brady's asked, he says, I don't mind getting hit, but the play's got to be there. Right? I mean, that's basically Brady's
totally
answer
right.
is what you're saying. So Brady's countering by saying, well, what should I be standing in for? No one's open. Even though there might be. Even though there might be. So I think on balance this year, as we hit the break here, I know they're 10 games in, but just call it, you know, their break. Brady's taking a step back or two, which I don't know why you would expect anything else when the guy puts in less work, spends less time with his teammates, and is 41. It's just impossible for me to get better when you're 41 and you don't show up. But I know I'm the a-hole for saying that. But I don't know, just it feels to me sort of elementary. You're 41 and you put in less work and you're not here in the offseason. What, you think that's going to make you better?
Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Whatever Brady did in the offseason hasn't helped. Hasn't made it better. I think we can all agree on that.
You better hope it's that.
Well, what else would it be?
Age.
So I don't think...
You follow me?
Yeah,
in
course.
Other words,
well, but it's...
You can fix that. You can show up next offseason. What if it's not that?
I can't separate the two. I can't separate the two. Do you put in the work or do you not put in the work? You put in less work. So I start there. I mean, I still think he's last yesterday wasn't about being 41. I don't think. It's about,
well,
I don't know.
Did you see some of those throws to James White that are like, you know, out on the flat that he's just like.
Okay, so, but how is that an age thing? So, and Maz put one up on our Facebook page that did stand out to me too. It was a throw to White in the flat on a little out route to Tom Brady's left. I believe it was in the second quarter. It was on a third down. It really should have been a pretty easy pickup. If he put it right on him coming out of the break, he was open. It was on the sideline. And if it was on time and where it should have been, it really wasn't a hard throw.
I mean, for them, I don't want to say the play's automatic, but it's pretty close.
It is. It's a wretched throw.
For them, it's pretty close.
Brady yanked this thing about 3 yards outside. The analogy I keep using is Craig Kimbrell yanking a fastball into the left-handed batter's box. Like, you see him do it all the time. He just whips it. And he holds on to it too long, and the release point's wrong, and he yanks it to the left-handed batter's box. You see Kimbrell do that all the time. That's what that throw looked like. It wasn't close.
No, it wasn't. Again, it's on our Facebook page. It was White had a step on the defender, maybe a step or two. If the ball's in the right spot, and the ball was at his feet, it bounced it there almost.
It was like a five-yard throw. It wasn't one of these high degree of difficulties. These are Brady's bread and butter, like a intermediate throw at the stakes to White or one of his possession guys, like just an absolute automatic for this guy, and he yanked that thing so bad. So I don't know. Is that age?
Age or injury? Just to me, looking at yesterday's game, like something's going on with the guy.
Okay, so I'm not doing that. I'm not doing
You have to ask Tom.
I'm not doing the Brady Cliff thing, but that's a cop-out for the guy. Well, I'll just start with him not putting in the work. I don't know. That just seems logical to me. But
yeah, you have to ask Tom.
Yeah, I'm the a-hole. So all of a sudden, he's too old. Okay, so now he's too old. That's it.
No, I'm just saying something's up. Whether it's age, injury, something. He doesn't look like even what he looked like last year in an MVP season.
Maybe his heart's not in it anymore. Maybe that's a factor, too.
Well, so the way you read that quote, I'm happy to stand in there if we're scoring points. I mean, it's an interesting read on that comment.
I just think that really, I start to wonder if he's standing back there going, I'm not going to sit here and get my ass kicked when we get guys out there who don't know what the hell's going on. Like
let's just keep chucking it to the guy that has no idea what's going on, Josh Gordon.
Man, spike throws. Oh, this is what you got me?
Spike throws. Man,
you
I
go
like
get it.
It,
a-hole.
All right, your thoughts, folks, right after Murray's 90-second update. Any update on Tuukka Rask, Murray? Anything yet across the wire?
Nope, waiting. I don't think we'll know until tomorrow morning. There was going to be a meeting today.
Okay, so if anything breaks on that, we'll let you know. Otherwise, here's the latest from Murray. Again, no spots, and then right back to your calls.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.